We've got Colin Cullis. He is our Business Unusual correspondent. The battle royale with Apple and Google for Fortnite. Now, Fortnite, incredibly popular game, Colin Cullis. I think we all know this. Virtual battles, and kids love it. Adults love it. People who play it absolutely love it. But they've taken the virtual battle into the real world. Now, Fortnite, well, at least its makers, are going to war with Apple and Google. Is it nearly as exciting as the video game itself, I wonder?
For those who know the game, we'll see this pretty much as, yes, being every bit like that. And for even people who don't know the game, we'll find this particular legal battle even more intriguing. But I thought we'd do something slightly different this evening. Rather than me prattle on about what happened in a bit of history and all the rest of it, I will ask you and everybody listening to be the judge. And I will make the cases for why Google or Apple are either right or wrong, and why Epic, the makers of Fortnite, are either right or wrong. And then leave you to decide, because invariably the 60-plus page of legal arguments and the very long time it's going to take for the case to conclude will probably not feature too well for most of the game players. So just to give you a quick recap as to how we got here, last week Epic, the makers of Fortnite, released an update to the mobile versions of their game on Google Android systems and onto the Apple systems that allowed you to buy the in-game currency at a discount. Doing so meant that they weren't going to be paying the proceeds from that directly to Google and Apple. And the history here is that the Apple Store was created, it was the first one, created by Apple in 2008, which is incredible, it's not that long ago, which allowed third-party developers to effectively create apps for mobile phones. Prior to that, the mobile phone manufacturer, the operator, would effectively create all the functionality, all the software for the phone. In Apple's case, they've continued to look after everything, but they did invite third-party app makers to say, perhaps you can improve it. And one of the early ones that was absolutely genius and quite simple was the fact that Apple phones had cameras. The cameras had a flash. One of the early apps that everybody downloaded was one that would turn the flash on independently. They created a torch out of the phone. Very popular app. Didn't take too long, though, for Apple to realize it was a great idea, and so simply made it part of the phone. But then Google, when they released their App Store in sort of 2010, and they had already seen that Apple was going great guns, attracting people who'd build better things than they could, and were charging 30% if you sold anything in the stores. If you sell nothing, then it's free. If you have ad-supported things, etc., you don't have to worry with those fees. And in return, they would check that any app that was submitted, didn't do anything that it didn't say it was doing, so harm your privacy or steal passwords or spy on you and give access to things that you wouldn't want it to. So that is a very big plus for users to know that downloading this app should be safe. There's obviously lots of apps, so it's not always easy to know what it is. So that's the brief history for the app stores, and this 30% is the thing that is on contention. So when Epic's saying, we're not going to pay you the 30%, effectively it forced Apple and Google to have to say, well, if we let them not pay this 30%, then surely all of the other developers who are currently playing 30% will say, well, then why should we? And so in order to not have that happen, they kicked Fortnite out of the Play Store. It means if you didn't have Fortnite on your phone, on an Apple phone, you couldn't download it. And if you did have it already on your phone, you could continue using it and playing. But if any update came out, you would not be able to receive it. Now, here's the cases for why Apple and Google are in the wrong, and Epic, and then you kind of decide.
Okay.
For the 30% to be unfair, which if you think about most marketplaces where people offer people access and say, listen, I'm going to take a cut for you to be in this market or in this space or sell something in my particular store, 30% is on the very high side. But it is their stores. And what Apple and Google claim is that they have to spend a lot of money ensuring that every single game and every single update for every single game is reviewed and checked that it's not doing anything harmful. And for the most part, you can be pretty sure that if an app you download in one of those stores does anything that it's not supposed to, you would be able to have some recourse with either one of those companies. Certainly, if you buy something in either one of them and it turns out they didn't deliver on what it was you wanted, you can very easily cancel a subscription or get a reversal on the payment that you made via Apple and Google. So that's good peace of mind for users. But for developers, and certainly in this case, Epic Games, which generates millions of dollars a month for Google and Apple, that effectively once they've said, well, we know Epic Games is not going to try and do something with their app on our phones that would be bad for our users, then they don't really have to check it that often. and or very, very closely for that matter. So they're effectively getting money for nothing. And effectively, big stars like Fortnite are paying for Apple and Google to ensure that they don't let any bad actors onto their platform, which you would argue is to say, well, that's actually a cost that should be carried by Apple and Google because it's in their own best interests not to have any bad actors on the platform. In the case of Apple, they don't allow anybody else other than in their app store. So the real battle, I suppose, is directly with Epic and Apple in this case, because while Android phones do have a Play Store and you do have to pay Google if you want to use the Play Store, you don't have to use the Play Store. Most phone manufacturers have their own Play Stores, and you can even install apps on Android phones outside of that. But there are plenty of stories of very dodgy apps that can be installed. They have spyware on them, ransomware, and all sorts of other things. So for the most part, it's in the user's best interests to simply use those things, despite those fees being very high. So that seems to suggest then that Epic has got a great point and used this opportunity to drive home the point, because just last month, both Google and Apple were in front of the US Congress answering questions about abusing their dominance and becoming not a marketplace, but simply a monopoly. And they're also facing queries from regulators in Europe and elsewhere for simply saying, listen, you guys have gotten a bit too big and you're charging a bit too much, which would suggest then Epic is the good guy here. They are the ones we should be supporting. And to help this along and to suggest that they absolutely knew what they were doing is right after they got kicked out of the app stores, they filed a 60-page lawsuit, not something you do very quickly, and they had an ad, a beautiful ad based on Apple's own 1984 one that said, stop with all the conformity, stop with all the people trying to make you do the same things. We're the rebels. And I don't know if you saw the ad. I'll stick it up on the website. Please. You can see the two side by side. It's pretty much on the nose, and it says, you know, Apple, we're coming after you. So the fact that they had that ready to go and the hashtag free Fortnite to use on social media certainly suggests that they knew how they wanted to play this game. So that, I think, should make a pretty good case for saying, Epic, you guys are doing one for the little guys. But let me give you the other side now, because Epic created Fortnite not because it had this genius idea for it, but because a developer had come to Fortnite. Fortnite actually makes the gaming engines, making it easier for other developers to create games, called Unreal. And a guy called Player Unknown had a version of a game that he worked on called Battleground, known to many players as Player Unknown Battleground or simply PUBG, which was created on the Unreal Engine. Epic at the time were working on a different game, kind of a ripoff of a Minecraft game that was not necessarily going to be a battle royale, but when they saw how well PUBG was doing and the version of Minecraft that used battle royale, they decided to create a quick free version of a game, which was Fortnite. So it really borrowed, was inspired by lots of other games, suggests that Epic doesn't have too much trouble using what's best available. And then we set about creating a very popular game, but also a very clever way of generating revenue. And maybe in a future show, we can look at how those revenues are generated, because you can either have somebody buy a game that is yours and you play it as often as you want, but you maybe don't get that many updates and, you know, there's no recurring revenue for the makers, so that's not ideal for them. Or you might get a game that is free, but they call them pay to play. There'll be lots of elements in the game where they make you wait. So you have to wait so many minutes before something happens or before you can do something. In fact, you featured a game recently called Landlord's Go, which probably falls into that category. So you can have great fun taking over the world, but every time you buy a building, you've got to wait an hour for the building to become yours. Or you can pay and it'll be yours in a few seconds. And for most people who love the idea of taking over the world and laughing like a maniac, the notion of waiting for a little clock to count down is just too much, and they wind up just hauling out their credit cards and pay, wanting to get to the top of the pile. So that's the pay-to-play kind of option. Then there's the ones where, you know, you're the product. They want to just spy on everything that you're doing. So the game is free, but they're gathering up all the information about what you're doing and reporting it back to companies who will use that for advertising purposes, or they simply fully ad supported. So you play free, but you watch a whole bunch of ads, or some model that goes into all of them. And Fortnite was genius because it said, you play the game and you have fun doing it, but we're going to make the game uniquely yours, because you can buy skins, that's sort of outfits that you wear, so you can personalize them, or elements of the game that are completely, they don't factor into how well you can play. And then they made those unique. So each season came out, you had very unique sort of elements, and not only were you able to say, well, you see, I'm a season one player, I've got all these skins, they introduced these dance moves, which you can do when you've just bested an enemy, which again, people love the idea to be able to make those things unique. And that got so popular that people would even create accounts, gather that stuff, and then sell the accounts, sell a free account for lots of money. Absolutely genius. There are some problems with that model too, but that's not really part of the court case thing. The element for the court case that is, Epic One is a maker of games and a provider of a games engine. So it's kind of both a provider and a seller. But now it's also got a games store. It too has an app store where you can buy games. And it charges you if you buy a game from other developers. So it's effectively, you know, in the same game as Google and Apple here. So they're not exactly just the little guy. And then for some, particularly when they made that 1984-esque ad that made it look like they were the rebels and for free speech and countering monopolies, well, they didn't really make too much of the fact that one of the largest investors of Epic Games, 40% I understand, is Tencent. And Tencent is, you know, no shrinking violet when it comes to saying, look, we run very big products, and because of the structures in China, they have lots of regulations that control who, what, and how could get access to that data. So possibly, were Donald Trump to remain in power after November, Epic Games might even see itself having to say, right, we might have to shift our connections here with Tencent, because they've already got that element with WeChat coming up for it. Now, maybe for South Africans, certainly pension-holding South Africans with big holdings of Naspers, and so indirectly Tencent would say, no, we want to support Epic and all of this, because if Epic does well, Tencent does well. If Tencent does well, Naspers does well. Naspers does well, we do well. So it is frightfully complicated. Whether you're a player or looking after the big picture stuff and monopolies and how it all operates. And so we probably will need a court or other regulators to try and find out which way this should go and who should be given the rights to do this or at what rates. I'm going to pause there and then ask you what your take is. And I will also give you the results of the poll we ran on air when we asked people to say what their thoughts were.
Instinctively, you want to back Fortnite, don't you? Because these are the guys, these are the cheeky guys, these are the guys who've taken the risk and developed the game. And then you look at the background of how the game was created and suddenly you go, oh, well, you know, how much integrity do they have really? Then you look at Apple and Google and say, hold on a second, if I ever want to have global reach on a game of some kind, am I really willing to give away 30% of everything I ever earn on this thing in perpetuity for something that is my intellectual property? I think I'd go against Google and Apple on this one, I'm afraid.
So you're with Epic. Okay,
I'm not saying I'm with Google and Epic. I'm just saying I'm against Apple and Google, which is different.
Oh, okay. No. There is an option for that. I gave four options online. Your options were 30% is unfair, Epic wins. That came in with 30%. Apple and Google for the win. That came in with 45% and probably is the way it will go. Then there were, they all make good points. 15% have opted for that one. And I think the one then that you would have fitted into, they're all in the wrong at 10%. And I tend to agree. They are all in the wrong in that they have justified vested interests, but aren't necessarily aligning those with where we are in terms of the digital economy and what ultimately users do need. And they all talk about, you know, looking after users' interests and privacy and protecting us, but you really get the sense, and this is unfortunately a reality of the global economy, and it's particularly bad in the digital economy, is there's so much pressure on growth. And that growth then effectively translates, and I think you mentioned it earlier this evening, into, you know, share price, and share price is market caps, and people then are attracted to the company, not by the products anymore or the services, but the perception of how much they can keep growing it and dominate others. And that, unfortunately, is not sustainable, and it'll cause even the nicest company to become quite awful when all they're chasing is further revenue, further growth. So hopefully there's a balance to be reached, possibly one that simply says a developer will pay 30%, but only to a cap, and then you don't have to pay any more. So that if you're a small developer, you happily give up the 30% to know that you're in a safe environment and you're not competing with bad guys. And if you do grow and become very popular, because they've got massive reach in these Play stores, then you benefit from all the upsides and know that at some point you'll cap what your payments are and the rest is yours. Versus a free-for-all and you've got all these competing app stores and users are confused about which ones to use. That'll be a very big mess.
Colin Cullis with Business Unusual. Thank you, Colin. Good one this evening on the fight, the epic battle. And it's all over the rights to how you distribute your product, and the platforms have got a huge amount of power in that. The Money Show, brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, the bank that gives you expert solutions for your transactional banking needs. That's African Asset. Absa is a registered FSP.